Welcome to the Ideal Investor Show. This is the podcast where we help you challenge your mindset and discover where you are. Tired of stories about other people's success? We can help you change your life, determine your time freedom point, and join us on the journey to financial success. Let's go. Hey, welcome back to the Ideal Investor Show. Today, I have a little bit of a smile, maybe a smug smile on my face. And, you know, I oftentimes say when we're talking about how hard stuff is and what the struggle is, that even a blind chicken finds a corn every once in a while. And so I want you to take what I'm telling to you today a little bit with that kind of image in the back of your mind. And make me the blind chicken, right? I do believe that I'm maybe a one-eyed chicken and not completely blind, but I, just like anybody else, have to admit that I don't have the ability, no crystal ball or anything like that, to predict what the market is doing and where it's going. And especially in the last, I would say, 5 years or so, with COVID and all the other stuff going on and with the crazy spending and increases in debt and so forth, I believe it's gotten harder and harder to predict what the impact of all these different things that we thought to be impossible and nobody ever even dared to do them. Think about this for a moment. $3.5 trillion in additional debt are being created in 2024 alone just by the US government, right? I mean, it's just crazy. And that's just one little number where you could say, okay, well, that's like a crazy number. And these kind of quote unquote crazy things keep happening at such a high frequency that is, in my opinion, pretty much impossible to predict with any kind of certainty on a short term what's going to happen. But I want to report to you something, because you know that when we're talking about the diversification of our portfolio, yes, we want to have 70% residential real estate. And I'm the one who desperately wants to help you if you haven't already started to get into that. So just as a little side note, go to idealinvestorshow.com, find the button to book a call, and let's have a conversation so you can get started and get on the journey. Because there's basically this old saying is really true. When was the best time to invest in residential real estate? Was 20, 25 years ago. And the second best time is right now. And there's a significantly long explanation why, and I've done shows about it and recordings about it. So you can look all that up, or much easier, just book a call and I can explain it to you, and you can see if this is something that you're really into. But what I wanted to report to you today has to do with the gold price. And in our diversified portfolio, as you know, we have 70% residential real estate, 10% gold, silver, Bitcoin, and then 10% in stocks, and 10% in cash. That's how it breaks the 100% and how we invest so vast majority in real estate. But gold coins and also to some extent silver coins are part of it. And just the other day, I got a new report that says gold has actually reached a record high of more than $2,400 per ounce. And if you started buying gold coins when I started buying before the pandemic, we bought it at around $1,500 an ounce. So we had a really, really nice increase. You could say basically in the last 2 months alone, the price of gold increased 20%. Now that's really a steep increase for gold, which is always known as something that very slowly increases in value. And when you ask yourself, why did it increase so much in the last few months? Well, one thing is that there was obviously some pent up demand. Right. Like, I mean, people were on the fence. They were thinking, well, is the Federal Reserve going to lower rates? You know, what's the economy doing? What's the labor market doing? There were all these predictions of what would supposedly happen in 2024. And I think a lot of those predictions are obviously not really happening, or at least not happening nearly as fast as people anticipated. The other thing is, why does the price of anything go up? And that is typically supply and demand in general terms. And what I mean by supply and demand, when you look at the situation in the world, I don't want to get in any way political or stuff like that, but for several years now, we have this war between Russia and Ukraine. The Western countries, you know, the United States, Europe, and so forth, have taken a position clearly on the side of Ukraine, and other, like China and other countries, some other countries have taken the Russian position, or at least have not really added to the sanctions. And the vast, vast majority of the world, like the other 180 or so countries, have said, we stay out of it. We are neutral. Then, And you have probably seen this in the news. We also have this war between Israel and Palestine and Gaza. And now Iran is actually getting involved in that. And then there's a war in Yemen. And all these wars actually generate uncertainty, especially when it comes to things like oil and gas. Because that whole region there, Russia is one of the largest oil providers. Iran is a significant oil provider. And that whole Middle Eastern region is basically where the vast majority of oil is coming from. And you may have seen that oil prices have actually gone up from like the low 70s to like $85 to $90 a barrel by now. So that percentage-wise is a significant increase. But what I'm getting at, how does that impact gold and why did it impact gold, is that the governments always look, and the central banks and governments and countries always look at, how do we actually protect ourselves? So one way to protect your assets and to protect your sovereignty is to say, we want to have gold. Russia, for example, increased massively its gold reserve, bought all kinds of gold before the war started, knowing that there will probably be sanctions. So that's one thing. Central banks buying lots of gold. Second thing that impacted the price going up is we used to have, in my opinion, a reasonably good relationship with China up until the end of the Obama administration. And what I mean by the reasonably good relationship, it's not that we ever really said what China is doing and their communist country and how they treat certain people is okay. But we basically had a good relationship when it comes to trading with them, getting goods from them, sending students back and forth. There were like at some point 250,000 Chinese students at U.S. universities. And they were in the U.S. because they really cherished and admired these universities. And the universities liked them as foreign students because they're really, really dedicated. They really, really learn. They're basically a pleasure to have as students. I was in a great situation when I was an adjunct professor at one of the universities in the Santa Barbara area and had a class of Chinese students. And it was just amazing how much they put in during that one semester. And then, as you all know, the Trump administration started and immediately basically turned China into more and more and more of an enemy of the United States. Nowadays, basically, you ask anybody on the street about China and everybody is telling you something negative about China and they're the enemy and they're doing everything wrong and they're going to be at war with us and so forth and so forth. Why am I mentioning this in the context of the price of gold? When we still had that good relationship, the Chinese, because they also saw the benefits of that good relationship, used to buy U.S. Treasury bonds, basically financing our debt. Because the way we bring new money into the world is we're issuing treasury bonds to the world. Anybody can buy them, which then increases the amount of dollars in circulation. So when you have a good relationship, you don't mind buying somebody else's treasury bonds. That's what happened. Well, when we started turning China into the enemy, at that point when it started, they had $1.3 trillion in U.S. treasury bonds. And when we declared them more and more into an enemy, they said, well, why should we keep treasury bonds of those who claim that we are their enemy, even though we don't believe we are their enemy? But that's what they tell the world every day in every media you can go. So what did China do? And they're still doing it. They started to say every time a U.S. treasury bond runs out, like a 2-year bond, a 3-year bond, a 10-year bond, every time one runs out, we are not going to replace it with a new one. We're going to buy gold instead. So because of them buying gold instead of buying U.S. treasury bonds, that increased the demand. The third thing that you may have heard about is BRICS. And I have done certain episodes about BRICS. And that is just the name of a group of countries. Those are kind of like the first letters. BRICS stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. And then last year in 2023, they added another 5 countries. I don't know the first letters of exactly those countries. So it's like 11 members now in this group. And there are about another 40 countries that are also having applied and want to become members of that organization. So when you have a large organization like that, it makes sense to ask yourself, how are we trading with each other? How are we connecting our economies with each other? And what they have found is that right now they would be forced to, every time they want to buy and sell something to each other, You know, like, for example, China wants to sell something to South Africa. They have to first convert what they're selling as far as the price in yuan into dollars. Then South Africa is paying them in dollars, and then they converted the dollars back into yuan. And they came to the conclusion, well, can we not accept each other's currencies? And on first glance, obviously, you know, the answer is yes. If you have enough trade between each other, you can just pay each other with your individual currencies, yuan against South African dollar, for example. But oftentimes the amounts that go back and forth are not equal. Like China might be sending 3 or 4 times as much stuff to South Africa than they send to China. So then China would end up with a lot of South African currency. So the people in the BRICS community said, well, how about if we were to make our own currency just for our members? Then we all would have the same currency and we wouldn't have to exchange into dollars. Besides the fact that they also don't like to exchange into dollars when the United States is basically calling almost every one of the members of BRICS an enemy. Right? Just the same, like they don't want to hold U.S. Treasury bonds any longer. They also don't like to be called an enemy and then at the same time being forced to have to exchange their currencies into dollars. They much rather like to have a common currency. Well, if nowadays in 2024, you want to come up with a common currency among these currently 11 countries and maybe in the future 50 countries, to make it valuable, you have to have something to back it up. And just as a quick reminder, up until 1971, we did have that with the US dollar as well. The US dollar as the reserve currency was backed up by gold. And then Richard Nixon said, no, we can't afford that anymore, so we're taking away the gold, and you just have to accept that the reserve currency, the US dollar, is no longer backed up by anything. Well, the BRICS community is saying, yes, we want to have our own currency, and we are planning to back it up by gold. Well, imagine what happens to the gold price. If that currency, and nobody knows exactly when, but in the next couple of years when currency actually comes out, so all the member states of BRICS can basically use their internal BRICS currency backed up by gold, that will also increase the demand for gold. Well, and then the last thing is obviously inflation, because gold on gold coins is basically saying, how much of the gold do I need to buy something, right? And so if everything gets more expensive, that means the purchasing power of a currency like the US dollar goes down, but the gold is still the gold. And just like a car gets more expensive because the value of the currency of the dollar goes down, then the coin, the gold coin that has 99.9% gold in it, also gets more expensive in the sense of how much of the dollar do I need to give to exchange for one coin of gold. So those are the things that have actually brought it up to 2,400 ounces. And some people say it is not inconceivable that sometime in the next few years it goes up above $3,000 an ounce or a coin, because most coins are 1 ounce coins. One little thing I want to also leave you with, because this falls into the context of diversification. And you know that I said 70% is real estate, and then we have 10% gold, silver, and Bitcoin, and then stocks and cash. If you compare, okay, would I be better off if I had, for example, started around the pandemic to say, okay, should I get stocks or should I get gold? And it's kind of interesting. If you look, I looked up the data from April 2020, which was kind of like around the low point in the stock market. If you had bought the same amount of value, like in dollars, $10,000 or $100,000 worth of stocks and $100,000 gold, and I'm taking stocks as the S&P 500, so you would have basically bought an index fund for the S&P 500, that went up between April 2020 to like April 2024 by 76%, and gold with this recent jump went up by 81%. So both of them went up about the same, which is really, if you think about it, pretty rare. Normally in the past, like, I don't know, hundreds of years, we had it when gold went up a lot, stocks went down. When stocks went up a lot, gold went down a little or stagnated. So right now we are in this kind of unusual time where both in the last 4 years, stocks and gold went up almost the same amount. And if you had both, like I said, in our diversified portfolio, 10% gold, silver, Bitcoin, and 10% stocks, both went up. So much the better. So I wanted you to be aware of it. Keep an eye on how the gold price is developing. And gold, by the way, is one of those things where you really never have to say, is it too late or is it the right time or anything like that. Gold is something like a reserve. You buy a little bit on a regular basis and just put it away. And it's there as a reserve. It's not something that you trade. It's not something that you go to the bank and say, oh, I bought it last month, now I want to sell it again or anything like that. So I just wanted you to be aware, it's been a pretty good ride. And we are allowed to celebrate when we have something good happening to us. So with that being said, be well, stay safe, and I talk to you tomorrow.